thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, friends, can you turn to Isaiah again, chapter 62? I just want to read a few verses at the start. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 5. And we'll come back to this later on, and we'll pick out a few lines from it. Okay, so Isaiah 62, and we're commencing to read at verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah. I think that's right. I'm not sure, but anyway, we'll go on. And your land, Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I want to finish again. The last verse of 62 is verse 12, and it says this here: and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being able to sing and rejoice in your praises, Lord. We thank you that we're able to rejoice and there is joy around your table this morning, Lord, for all that you have done for us. But Father, as we come around your word this morning, again, I just pray, what's of me, may these people let it go. But what's of you, may it go deep, deep, deep into each and every heart. In your wonderful name, we would ask it. Amen. Amen. Friends, when I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, what I was going to bring to you this morning, I felt led in some ways to bring you an uplifting word, and I hope that's what it's going to be this morning. So I've put myself under a lot of pressure already to start with. But we've seen the just a trace the whole way through our service. We sang about rejoicing. We sang about joy. JT mentioned joy round the table. And that's what I'm hoping to bring this morning, is an uplifting word. Children, you're back at school. It's bad times, isn't it? The dark evenings are coming, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is around the corner. It's only 14 or 15 weeks away. Adele probably know what it is, but it's around that time. The leaves are starting to fall from the trees. The cold weather, the frost, it's on its way. So I want to bring an uplifting word to you this morning, and it's just entitled Joy. It is just entitled Joy. My heart is full of joy. Is your heart full of joy this morning? What does joy look like to you? What does joy look like to me? What does joy look like to us? What brings you joy? Ladies, shopping? I would have a guess at it. Shopping will bring you joy, girls. I know it does. I have three at home, and they're always joyful when they're shopping. There's even more joy when the Amazon van comes in the lane, which seems to come in the lane every day in life and drops over. You should see their wee faces when the guys come in. They're always wondered whose name was on the parcel today. I can tell you something, it's very seldom my name or very seldom Glenn's name. It's always the girls. Yes, girls, you like your shopping. There's joy in your shopping. Maybe you have a hobby. Have you hobbies? Brings you joy. Hobbies brings us joy. Our families bring us joy, especially when they achieve things in life. Our children at school, the effort that goes into it, the hard work, it all pays off and it brings us joy when we see our children, and when we do and when we get rewarded, it brings us joy. Maybe you follow a sports team. They can bring you joy and despair in equal measure. It can be football, could be rugby, you could even follow tennis, you could even follow golf. And there's joy in following sports and despair. A couple of weeks ago, Aaron and myself were watching a football match. Newcastle were playing Liverpool. And Liverpool done, well, they weren't playing well, but they managed to get a goal, and then the opposition managed to have a man sent off, and we were joyful. We were happy. Everything was going well. The second half started, and we scored a goal right at the start of the second half, and boy, we were joyful. But they didn't play well. The game continued on, then Newcastle scored. And we were sitting there wondering, for goodness, we're a man up, we're rubbish, they're getting back into the game. And of course, what happened? They scored again and it's 2-2. Then we go into time added on at the end of the game. 10 minutes, the 10 minutes are nearly up. And then the play develops, the ball's crossed in, and a young boy of 16 years of age arrives at the back post, sticks the ball into the net, and Aaron and me are up, dancing around the living room, hugging each other. Joy, joy, joy at a Sally Owl football match. You know, the Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one who repents. Luke 15, verse 10. Joy in heaven. That's what I think about whenever I see a football crowd or anybody giving a cheer or a shout when the golf ball goes across the green and goes into the hole. There's a big cheer. I believe that's what it's like in heaven. Every time the news comes through that someone has repented. If you've repented of God in your life, there was a moment in heaven when there was a great shout went out because Nir had come to God. Liam had come to God, and there was a massive shout. Imagine you midst heaven shout for joy simply because you asked Jesus into your heart. Wonder, is there one in here today, and you possibly could hear that shout in heaven today because you came to know Jesus as your own personal Savior and friend. How did you come this morning? There's not much joy there. Sure, there's oh dear me. It can't be that bad. Is it that bad? I'll try and keep the rest of you, okay? How did you come this morning to church, friends? Psalm 104 says this in here. Says this: we will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter his courts with praise. Did you do that this morning when you were coming in? Was it a long drive to church this morning? Was it another Sunday morning? Here we go. How did you come to church this morning? Because we should have come in with joy. Here's one. I found this here. Oh my goodness. Gentlemen, you'll not forget this. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. I've took the middle of the verse out, so I've just got the start of the verse and the end of the verse. You can look it up when you go home. Live joyfully with the wife, for that is your portion in life. That's what it says, Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife. You know, we meet people in our life, and I call them sad, happy people. They're called sad, happy people. You go up to them and you say, oh, you maybe haven't seen them for a wee while. You mention their name. How are you? John, Jimmy, whatever it may be. How are you doing? Are you keeping? Oh, I'm fine, Mark. I couldn't be better, to be honest with you. Isn't the weather great? The hens are laying. The cows are milking well. The wife's happy. I just bought a new car last week. And my health, I'm feeling well. Oh, couldn't it be better? Well, tell your face. Tell your face. I remember there was a wee man used to come to your house. Yeah, I was only a child when this happened. My grandfather drove the Burnhouse lorry. They lifted all the dead animals around the country. But there was the odd time there was a wee man would have came. There's people came to the yard and threw the animals off in the yard. But some of you may have heard this story. His name was Wally. I'm not going to mention it. He's dead and gone now, but he's not with us. And he used to visit. When he came with a calf and threw it off in the yard, he always would have come into the house. But he was a wee single man and a wee farmer. And my grandmother, I can always hear her saying to him, Wally, it's a wonder you, with a wee bit of land and all, wouldn't get married. It's a wonder you wouldn't get married. And he always used to look at her, and he was the most droll wee man. He said, oh, Mrs. Miller, hey, I know, bother enough with a woman. Honestly, and he had everything in life, really. Friends, we have a joy through Jesus Christ that should be just shining out of us. It should be just shining out of us. Psalm 118:24 says this here. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I think God's trying to say something. Yes, you will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Proverbs 17:22 says this here. A merry heart does good like medicine. Wow, it's like medicine having a joyous heart. It's like medicine being happy. It's like medicine knowing that we're going to heaven someday because Jesus has paid the price. There is fullness of joy in your presence, Lord, Psalms 16:11. Friends, turn to somebody this morning in church and say, you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. Turn and say to them this morning, there's joy in that. And if they're not happy, grab them by the lapels of their coat and give them a shake and tell them there is joy. There is joy this morning because you are a child of God. Hope you haven't to give anybody a shake there. There is joy. There is joy. Following Jesus. I am aware that life can throw up events and life can throw up changes. And that joy can sometimes be hard to find in certain situations. I am aware of that. You see, what brings you joy, but what steals your joy from you? Yes, there can be deaths in our family, and that's our losing our loved ones, and that steals our joy. We have illnesses, and we're well aware of that. Illnesses can come along. And I know that one or two are struggling with that, and that can take your joy away. Joy can be taken away because it comes along with life's battles. But of course, the old enemy is never far away whenever you start to get down. You see, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. The devil walks about like not a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8. And then there's our loved ones who do not know Jesus. And when we get into that place where we start to think about them and where we start to worry about them, because time is short and we know that, once we start to think about them, sometimes joy can go. James 1 and 2 says this here, that we should count it joy when you fall into trials. Wow. That we should count it joy when we fall into trials. When these trials come along, we should count it joy. How can that be, Lord? Those who sow in tears reap in joy. Psalm 125, verse 5. Our example, as always, is Jesus. For the joy set before him endured the cross. Hebrews 12, verse 2. See, Jesus saw beyond the cross, friends. He saw beyond you and me, and he saw, even though the cross was before him, he saw far beyond the cross a day when he saw you and me with him in glory. The joy set before him endured the cross. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow. Maybe it's just tough right now for you. Psalm 51 and 12 says this here, and JT said it, quoted it this morning, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, restore suggests lost, friends. Restore suggests something has been lost. Sometimes it's us. And restoration sometimes can be a slow process. It can sometimes be a slow process. People restore houses. People restore cars. People restore paintings. And they get them back to their former glories. But I want to tell you something, friends. Sometimes it can be a slow process. Restoring a car, restoring a building, restoring a painting can be a painstaking process as you detail bit by bit and you rebuild and you restore whatever it is you're restoring. And that can sometimes be the same for us. Psalm 51 verse 10 says this here, renewing a steadfast or a right spirit within me. It's the same psalm, just a couple of verses before, the restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, friends, if you want to be restored, there has to be the right spirit in you before it. You see, like the psalmist, have you lost the joy because of the wrong spirit? I would suggest from the portion of scripture there in Psalm 51 that you cannot get your salvation, the joy of your salvation restored until you renew the right spirit within you first. And if you cannot get the right spirit renewed within you, and that might be attitudes, that might be attitudes to other people, that might be attitudes to something that's going on in your life. If you cannot get that right spirit within you, the joy of your salvation will not return to you. There's an order there. There's an order. Sometimes if we go through things in life, I'm not saying every time, sometimes if we go through things in life, if we do feel we have lost the joy of our salvation, it's because of a spirit, our thought process, what we're doing, how we're conducting ourselves. Might be outside the walls, it might be inside the walls. We've got to renew the spirit first before the restoration and the joy of our salvation. Think about that this morning. I don't know if that's for someone. I don't know if it's for us all. I don't know. In closing, we mentioned uncertainty a few weeks ago and talked about that a little bit, but one of the uncertainties is church at the moment, because we still haven't got a pastor. So I thought I would drop this in here in the middle of this as I'm speaking this morning. We did meet with Edwin last Thursday night. We had a chat. There's nothing to report, I'm sorry to tell you, this morning. It's maybe not that joyous. Maybe it, I don't know. I know that there's few people have come to me and said, Mark, don't be worrying. Don't rush. And that looks as if that's maybe going to be the case. So there's nothing to report on that at the moment. However, we have met as a leadership. We've been meeting for several, and we want to encourage you and give you, try and bring joy to you this morning that we're moving forward. We're going to keep going on. We're going to strive on. We don't tread water, friends. We've got to keep going on. It's that time of the year when we talk about the winter's work starting up again, and all the departments and all the ministries are starting up again, and we keep going on, friends. We keep going on. We don't stop. We don't stop. The summer, yes, it upsets us a wee bit, and things are up the left, as they say. But now, we regather, we regroup, and we go again in the joy of the Lord, because He'll be leading us. And all the ministers will start up. There's ministries, JT said it this morning, there's ministries need leaders, there's ministry needs helpers. Go and see someone. Tell them that you have a little bit of time, or you feel led of the Lord to be involved in something, whatever that may be. The leaders of the departments, the leaders of the ministries will only be too happy and joyous to see you coming and giving your time. We need a leader for busy bees, friends. If it's to continue, if we have to, we need help to start up things, and if we haven't the help, it can't be started. It's as simple as that. So think about that. Think about that. Your leaders will be joyous if you come and say, I think I could help you. I think I could do something for you, blah, 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 etc., etc. Evangelism. We would like to get out as a church down the street. I don't know what it looks like at the minute or two, but that's the bones of it. We'll try and get the flesh onto it at some stage. But we want to have a presence. Would maybe like to be down the street some morning in the week that's been discussed. This was done. I thought this was a brilliant idea by a church in another town. One morning a month, they would have been out handing out coffees and teas and chocolates, hot chocolate, to the children getting on the buses where all the buses congregate. And I think that's a great idea. That's something we're looking at, that we maybe could do something at the town hall here in the town. Some of the young people are involved in that, but I think others can be involved in that. That's just something we're looking at, friends, as being evangelistic in our town. There's plenty to push on with. We can't wait on a pastor coming. We've got to push on in the joy of the Lord. And do you know why? Because it's for you and for me and our loved ones that don't know Jesus at this moment in time. That's why we keep going. That's why we can't stop. That's why we can't wait. We've got to try and push on. Coming back to what we read this morning, I know it's an assurance of Zion's salvation in Isaiah 62, but I want to tell you something, friends. Take joy from this morning about what Jesus thinks, about what God thinks about you. Because I can see us, I can see you in everything that's said in this passage of Scripture. Verse 1 says this here, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace. Put your own name in there. Put the name of one of your loved ones that doesn't know Jesus in there. And for their sake, God is not holding his peace this morning. And for Jerusalem's sake, he will not rest. He didn't rest for you and me, and he's not going to rest for our loved ones that don't know him yet. And if you're in here this morning, you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you something. He's not holding his peace, and he will not rest until he sees you won for his kingdom. I don't know how close you are. I don't know how far away you are. I cannot give you that answer. But what I do know, friends, is what it says here. He's not going to hold his peace, and he will not rest. And I pray that over all our loved ones that do not know Jesus this morning. We pray that over them this morning, friends. And we claim that this morning, that he is not going to hold his peace, and he will not rest for our loved ones. And we pray for them this morning. The tail end of verse 2 says this here: "You shall be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name." That's you this morning, if you're born again, if you know. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Not me, not anybody else. Whenever we're born, it's our parents has this job of naming you. I don't know how it comes about. We had much debate about that. I heard of one person recently where they had a debate about the name of the child. It was a wee girl, and the father wanted the girl, the wee girl, called this name, and the mother wanted it called this name. So they come up with a double barrel name, whatever it was, you know, like Terry Lee or whatever it may be, to compromise. But God has called you a new name. With his mouth, the Lord will name. Wow. That just blows me away. Verse 3 says this here, that you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Do you realize that this morning? You're a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Wow. Unbelievable. How is it possible? Only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the cross. Only through the shed blood and the broken body. What is done for you and for me. You shall also be a crown of glory. Again, I ask you, if you're not, you could be a crown of glory this day. You can come and be a crown of glory this day if you come to know Jesus as your own personal Savior and friend. Verse 4 says this here, one of the lines near the end, "For the Lord delights in you." He delights in you. And I want to tell you something. That's even though sometimes you disappoint, you let them down, we fail, we stumble, we lose it. He still delights in you, friends, this morning. That's how great a God he is this morning. He still delights in you. He's probably hoping that you come to your senses and we catch yourselves on, I have no doubt. But he delights in you this morning. Maybe you need to hear this today. Maybe there's someone in here needs to hear these things today. Maybe you've let yourself feel that God doesn't care. Maybe the situation you're in, you feel that God, where are you? Can happen sometimes. Where are you, Lord, in the middle of this that I'm going through? I want to tell you something, friends, this morning. No matter what you're going through, he delights in you. He delights in you. Verse 5. At the end of it again, the last line, your God rejoices over you. He rejoices over you this morning. You bring him joy. Please tell your faces, you bring him joy this morning. You are finding this hard to believe, but you bring him joy. You're maybe thinking, well, maybe it wasn't joy on Thursday when I seen that traffic warden coming up the street. You bring him joy. Friends, we need to tell ourselves these things. We need to stop hitting ourselves over the head with a stick. Yes, we fail. Yeah. But you bring him joy this morning. We bring him joy because we're meeting here and we're singing our praises to him. We're hearing his word and we've come around the table this morning. We've brought him joy. Verse 12. You're called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out. I love that line there. You shall be called sought out. He has, the Holy Spirit has sought you out, dear soul, this morning, and brought you into his banqueting house. And the fact that he has sought us out, I pray again this morning that he will seek out our loved ones. And that's the promise we have this morning. He sought us out, and I want to tell you something. He can and he will seek out our loved ones. And I claim that this morning, and you claim that for your loved ones this morning, friends. We will not be forsaken. A city not forsaken. We will not be forsaken. We claim all these promises in Isaiah 62 this morning, friends. Claim them. Cling on to them. In whatever situation you may be going through. And kids, I'm sorry to tell you, I can't do nothing about you. You have to go to school again tomorrow and next week and next month and keep going. And maybe some of the teachers as well. You'll have to go back too. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Let it sink deep, deep, deep into your soul this morning, friends. And I can't finish without asking again, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? You only think maybe you have joy in your life without him. I understand that, yep. There's plenty that we can, that life gives and entertains and joy. Because before I was saved, before I even come to know the Lord yet, we went out and we had many a good night, I can tell you. We had many a good evening. I can't stand here and tell you a lie and say that I didn't, because we did. But we didn't know Jesus. Wherever you're going or whatever you're doing in life, friends, or wherever you may be, yeah, it may seem like joy, but it's only when you come to know Jesus you experience real joy. Real joy in your life when you come to know Jesus. And you can see that real joy is not a football team scoring a goal or a ball going into a hole in a green. It's knowing him, knowing you're saved, knowing you're going to heaven, knowing that he has you, no matter what you're going through this morning, friend, in the palm of his hands. Claim it. Cling on to it this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.